Thank you, Joseph. So I ran a church preschool a long time ago. A long time ago. And we would start each preschool chapel with this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I have to say, yours was much more stirring and, you know, into the soul. But I kept singing that song all week. There's really nothing better than 40, 50 kids sitting in a room screaming about God's light and letting it shine. And today we're going to learn about three different parables, and we're going to connect them all together. Essentially, the thread that's through all of them is who we're called to be each and every day, and how we choose to live that out each and every day. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, in the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our hearts and the calming of our minds, we feel you, Lord. I ask you to allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So we're going to start in Matthew. And what's interesting about this particular scripture is right before this, Jesus was preaching to many, many people, right? He was preaching on the side of a hill, and people just kept coming, wondering about this man who was kind of flipping what they already knew. Yet he was such an excellent teacher and preacher, he would hit them with what really mattered, but give them concrete things to hold on to. So we're going to start in Matthew 5, verse 13, and we're going to go through 16. And it starts like this. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. And he continues to describe who you are. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So let's start at the beginning. You are the salt of the earth. That kind of means something for us today. But back 2,000 years ago, salt was actually a commodity. It was currency. It's actually where the word salary is derived from. People would pay Roman guards in salt. That is how important it was for the day-to-day life. It preserved. It kept things good until it didn't. Once the saltiness had left the salt, you couldn't put that back in. It became then useless. It didn't have taste. It didn't help preserve. It was something that was of worth that was no longer. You're going to have to oblige me with some beach stories. So we show up to the Airbnb. I did a grocery order in the car on the way there. So we get there, the groceries come, and I thought I had everything planned out because I am a planner. And then we get to cooking one night, and guess what? There's nothing of any seasoning. There is nothing. I go to make tacos and I got nothing. I had salsa and I put some cheese in it, which has salt. We made it work, right? But all of a sudden, which I understand why they don't keep spices, like people to people, and I understand that. But in my brain, I didn't even have salt and pepper. And it was just this unwavering, like, what do I do? How do I, even today, how do I cook without just even salt and pepper? And I think about back in the biblical times, I mean, it is how they preserved their food. Without salt, there would be no meat that would last longer than a day. Salt was vital. And what did Jesus call you? The salt of the earth. And then he continues, in case you didn't understand that analogy, he says, you are the light. Now, let's go back 2,000 years ago to the importance of light, especially in a dark, rocky city. One that was not paved like Plano Parkway. There were no sidewalks. It was treacherous when you would walk even from home to home. You didn't really travel at night because you could not see where you were going. And the city on the hill is referencing to what? Jerusalem, where the light shone. And you think about the light. I thought about a lighthouse this past week. I did nothing this past week. I sat in a chair. I watched the ocean. And I cook dinner at night sometimes. But other than that, I just sat in a chair, listen to my children's laughter. I don't care how old they get. It warms my heart. And I listened to the ocean and to the waves. And every single night, I was shocked of how fast it became dark. Because we were right there. And you just look out and you could see just utter black, except for this one ship way out. And it had a bright, bright light. Because that light was important and vital to know where to go, right? Now, people on ships who are much smarter than me have much, much fancier ways to navigate than just light. But it is important in darkness to have that light. Salt of the earth, and you are a light that is caused to shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. These are the two examples that Jesus gave and told everybody who was around of who you are. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light in the darkness. Simple. It's what we're called to be. We're not supposed to lose our saltiness. Ask my family, I'm real salty. But you're not supposed to lose that. You're supposed to work at keeping it alive. Because when salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good. So let's take that on our faith journey. If we are the salt of the earth, we are here to preserve and help things be more flavorful. Help them be better. And what I love about this scripture is he was speaking to a variety of people. This wasn't in a synagogue when he was talking to priests, or he wasn't in a Roman-only city. He was talking to everyone. Servants, slaves, men, women, children had all gathered. Do you understand how unique that is for the time? Salt and light. Let's move on to, in a way, a little bit of a more difficult parable. It is, oh no, my boys took my paperclip out because they think they're funny. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why they said, here's your paperclip, Mom. It's all coming together now. They're a little salty too, aren't they? None of them came to church either. So we're going to move to Luke 12, 41 through 48. And right before this passage, Jesus is talking to his disciples and both, right? They're kind of behind him, right? He had that model of discipling to 12 people so that they could go out and disciple to others, right? But also he was at the same time teaching the community. He didn't keep it to himself. He shared this good news and these lessons. And sometimes he was really direct. And in this passage, he is so direct, it's a little uncomfortable to read. So Luke 12, 41 through 48, and it starts with Peter saying, okay, Jesus, are you talking to us or are you talking to them? Let's dive into that just for a second. So Peter is kind of the spokesperson for the disciples. Like, when everybody had a question, they're like, hey, Peter, ask Jesus, like, you do it. And so you'll see Peter a lot in Scripture asking these questions that feel kind of silly, but yet you know it was on their minds. Are you talking to us? Are you talking to them? Do you think Jesus answered Peter directly? No. This is how he responded. So in verse 41, Peter said, Lord, are you telling this for us or for everyone? And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and prudent manager whom his master will put in charge of his slaves to give them allowance and food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave who his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all of his possessions. But if that slave says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the other slaves, men and women, and eat and drink and get drunk, The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour that he does not know, and he will cut him to pieces. And he will put him with the unfaithful. That slave who knew what his master wanted but did not prepare himself to do so or what was wanted will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did not deserve a beating will receive a light beating. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. Let's go back to who does Jesus call us? The salt and the light of the earth. That brings a smile upon my face. It means that Jesus sees me and knows that I am good. And then I got to do something with that. I'm not to hide my gifts under a bushel. I'm not to put the salt away so it is unused and then becomes unusable. I am to live out faithfully. You see, Jesus sometimes is so pointed in his answers. Now, did he answer Peter directly? No. But did he make sure he was listening? Absolutely. For the one who does not do what the master has asked will be cut into pieces. Okay, I'm paying attention now, Jesus, right? And there's lots of different translations in that. And sometimes in the Greek, it really means will be cut down, will be put back in their place, right? But you pay a lot more attention when it was like cut into pieces, right? God has entrusted us with caring for God's people. God has called and named us the salt and the light of the earth. Have you seen people who have a lot of, I don't know, time in their hands, maybe passion, who like have countdown clocks of when Jesus is going to return? I was a child in 1999 where my city installed stop signs at every single light because we were sure nothing was going to work when the computer rolled over to 2000. Right? And everything was just going to stop. You can still see the post in almost every single intersection of my hometown where they were going to go around and just plop stop signs in every intersection. This isn't like that. This is living each and every day in anticipation. This is not waiting for Jesus in your home, making sure it's clean and you've done all the right things and everything's in order and you just sit. Are you being the salt and the light of the earth in that way? Absolutely not. When you have been entrusted with this, when you have been named and called salt and light, you are to use that gift wisely. A word I used to teach children was integrity. Big old fancy word for 6-year-olds. And the simple way of saying it is do the right thing when nobody's looking. It really is that simple. Do the right thing when nobody's looking. But then you add the Christian layer on it, and it's do it to all the people all the time. And that feels heavy. Because some days I don't want to be kind to my neighbor. Some days my saltiness is not the goodness of God. It is aggression, or it is anger, or it is self-pity, whatever it is, it's not my best. But I read these two parables and I hear how Jesus taught his people, first reminding them who they're called to be, and then reminding them to live it out. This isn't waiting that is idle. This is active. This is participatory. And this is bringing your friends and your neighbors along with you. This is sharing the journey. One friend I met, I got up early every morning, and I just, the beach dudes who do the chairs, right? So they put out the rows of the chairs and the umbrellas for people, right? And I just was mesmerized by Connor as he lifted like 8 chairs and 3 umbrellas and like just laid them out, right? And I was really curious about just his story and how do you become a chair dude on the beach, right? And so one day I just asked him his story, and he told me a little bit about it. And he said, one of my favorite things about being on this beach is everybody's a nobody. You're out here with no makeup on, you're in your bathing suit, you got flip-flops on. I don't know what you do. And then I find out what you do, and it's really cool. I get to meet so many people. I get to interact with people from all over and learn and grow. He was like, I've learned so much. I've been doing this for 6 months, and I thought it would just be like a year thing, and my parents are a little nervous that it might be longer than that, because I love interacting with the people. And I thought, well, I said, well, are they all nice? He was like, oh, no, some of them are awful. But the goodness outweighs the bad. And I thought, that is who we're called to be. And then we had a guessing game of what I did for a living, and he never got it. P.S. He never got that one. But it's just fun to interact with different people from different places. But he didn't just say interact. He said, I learn so much from so many different people each and every week. As I'm reading this scripture and it's ruminating in my brain, I thought that's who we're called to be. To go out and do the things that God has called us to be. As I really, really thought about these parables, I like to think about it that in Matthew, it's our call to influence. You are called to influence others, right? And then in Luke, it is your call to faithfulness. Because you were called to influence others, you can only do it through God's faithfulness. And I thought, it's just beautiful. The way that we're all so interconnected, I look out on y'all tonight, and each and every one of you has a unique gift. We have people who are musical. We have teachers. We have people that come each and every week just with a theological question to stump the pastor. And I love it. But when one of you are missing, it's not the same. Because this community not only makes each other better, but we help each other rise up to the occasion to continue to be the salt of the earth, to continue to be the light, and to do with it what we are supposed to do. Now, I'm not going to cut you into little pieces if you don't do the right thing. But your heart might. It's how I told kids to know the difference between right and wrong. You know it. Your heart knows it. Your gut knows it. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You also realize in this time that Jesus is telling this parable, what's he talking about? He's talking about his death, resurrection, and return. And as people are rereading this in biblical times, they think it's going to happen quick. They are living the life that Jesus is coming today. Y'all, we've got real comfortable 2,000 years later. We might have some internet guru who has some stopwatch of when Jesus is coming back. Yet in the scripture it says what? He will come when you're not expecting it. The master will come back when the slave does not expect it. You do that in your own life. When you want to check on somebody at work and check on their progress, you just pop in, right? when you want to see if your child's room is clean, like really clean, you just open the door. Do you do that to your own heart? Do you do that to your own faith? Are you where you're supposed to be, doing what you're called to do? You're here tonight. I feel like it's a good start. And it's a reminder to keep on the path of faithfulness. Don't just come to church and go home. There's so much more about this community. There's so much more about what we're called to be. Salt, light, and faithful. It really is that simple. Salt, light, and faithful. It really is that difficult. But together in community, we can do it. We are doing it. And as you go out this week, I want you to think about, how are you being faithful? What gifts are you sharing? What light are you being to somebody? Because I got to tell you, when you are the salt and when you are the light, you affect people that you don't even know. Connor doesn't remember my name. I was some mom with her college kids on the beach. But he impacted me with his story and his just ultimate joy for putting out chairs. What can you find simple joy in this week? And how can it continue out your faith story? Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we end this service tonight, inspire our hearts and our minds to recommit our lives to you, not in a passive way, but in an active way, taking all that you have given us and making it good. Remind us to be the salt, because we are. And remind us to be the light, because we are. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.